Well, what a pleasure this morning to welcome John Tesh to the show. Of course, you hear John each day from 2 till 7 p.m. with Intelligence for Your Life, and he has just written a book called Relentless, Unleashing a Life of Purpose, Grit, and Faith. And it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the usual places, as well as his own website, johntesh.com. John, welcome. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You know, most people know you for your time on TV with Entertainment Tonight, or, you know, maybe your music career, and of course here at The Wave with Intelligence for Your Life. I have to ask you, how did the radio show begin?
Yeah, the radio show was created nearly 20 years ago by my wife, Connie, and she didn't know she was doing it at the time. So we had been married for a few years, and we were closing down for the night, and we're getting into bed, and my wife saw my side of the bed, which looks like, it still does, actually. It looks like a Radio Shack vomited on the side of my bed. It's like connectors and wires and pieces of little keyboards and things. And so she's like, you know, John, this is our sleep chamber. She calls it our sleep chamber. It's very cute. This is our sleep chamber. What is all this junk? And so I was looking for an opportunity to cross-complain, right? So I looked at her side of the bed to see if there was anything over there to remark on. And sure enough, there was stacks of magazines like Oprah Magazine, Prevention Magazine, all these newsletters from hospitals and stuff. And I said, what's all this? And they all had sticky notes in the pages. And she said, well, these are all the articles that I want to get to, but I just haven't had time. We had like a 4-year-old at home.
Yeah.
And the light bulb went off, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is the show. I'd come off the road. I left Entertainment Tonight, and I was doing 50 shows a year, concerts.
Right.
And my wife was home with a 4-year-old and a 13-year-old teenager, my son. And so I was getting the Italian eyebrow every time I came off the road. So I was like, maybe I should scale back and find something else to do along with the touring. And I wanted to get back into radio, which is my first love. And I can't do what you do. I don't do like the morning show stuff. I'm not bred like that. I'm not as quick as you are.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you, John.
I wasn't gonna do love songs at night because that was already done.
Right.
And so I was looking for something in my mind. Right. And so when that happened, I light bulb off and I went, let's do a show for this woman. She was 35 at the time, my wife. And then the name came to me, Intelligence for Your Life. So I called up Scott Myers, who you know.
Right, sure.
Who is our executive producer now on the radio show. But he was a song promoter. So he was promoting my music to radio stations. So I called him up and said, we're going to do a radio show. Start calling stations. It's called John Tesh Music and Intelligence for Your Life. And he goes, what is that, a seminar? And I said, shut up. Start dialing it up. And this is actually in the book, where Scotty just says, okay. So he would put me on the phone. We still do it to this day when we're signing new stations.
Right.
He put me on the phone, and I was like, you know, going crazy like I am now, evangelizing about the show, and all people be talking. We're curating information about it. We have 10 researchers. We had none, just me. And and then we signed 6 stations, like, in 1 week. And I did all the research myself and did all the writing. It was crazy. It was only a weekend show. And then it grew to a daily show, and now we have like a full staff. But so it was created by Connie, and she will never let me forget it.
Well, and I'll tell you, speaking of, I got to get to those researchers in just a second here, but we seem to have the entire Tesh family here now, because we also have Connie on Sunday mornings with Intelligence for Your Health. So you can get your fill of John and Connie pretty much any day of the week, which is nice, you know. But let's talk about this research. Where do you get such amazing researchers for this stuff? Some of the stuff you come up with, I can tell you, I know it's called Intelligence for Your Life, and honestly, I can listen for a little while, and I actually do feel kind of smarter after hearing it.
Yeah, and I do too, by the way, and I don't know that I, first of all, the show, and this is mentioned in the chapter in the book on intelligence, on the launching of the show, it really was made for the time when it was born, where the internet was just starting to sort of catch steam. You know, and there was a lot of information out there, and it was almost too much, and people couldn't tell what was good. Even today, you can't tell what's fake news and what's not, right?
Right, right.
And it was just too much information. I grew up in it, before I got to Entertainment Tonight. People think that was the beginning of my career. I grew up in the news business, so I was at 5 different local news stations, and by the time I was 23. I was the youngest correspondent in the newsroom at CBS News in New York for 12 years. And then I worked for sports. And so the newsroom, the real cornerstone, the engine room for the newsroom and sports, especially for Olympic Games, was the research department, right?
Okay,
and,
right.
And you never put anything on the air without research checking it. You never they would generate story ideas, and they would always fact check, you know, two or three. It's one thing you don't want at the network is to be sued by somebody. So there was always that. So that was sort of a muscle that I had. And realizing that people needed somebody to come along and curate information. I don't know that you could launch a show like this now, but back in the day, it got momentum and it became, quote unquote, a mature show because it became part of their lives, where it was like, hey, let us find this information. We'll find something that'll move you from the place you are right now to the place you are meant to be. And it really is forced learning for me. I wouldn't research all this stuff if I wasn't doing it for a living.
Well, and as research goes, have you ever, with the show, have you ever been presented with some info that you thought, gee, we need to really check on that a little further before we put it out there? Like, did anything kind of strike you as, wait a minute, something about that isn't jiving with me?
Yeah, and we get a lot of that because I produce Connie's show as well, the health show, and so there sometimes there are conflicting opinions about supplements, about weight loss, or you know, there's always new breakthrough, and yeah, it's like take aspirin, don't take aspirin, take Advil, don't take, you know that.
It
that
seems
kind of
to
stuff.
Change every day. Yeah, so right.
Yeah, so we really if you've got a PhD and you've got a paper that's been published and you're working for Johns Hopkins or Cleveland Clinic or MD Anderson or something like that, we're going to be connected to you, but it's not going to be some guy who's I love trainers, right? I work with them, but a trainer in a gym who says, okay, you need to take 4 pounds of creatine a day. You know, we're not going to land on that. So yeah, is the answer to your question.
I'm marking this down. 4 pounds of creatine. Got it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. We're gonna question it. The other thing is, you know, even though I've been working with these writers and producers for, you know, for years, every now and then something will pop up like, you know, oh yeah, hey, the Kardashians do this or that, or let's do something out of the entertainment world or whatever. I'm just like, no, you know, we have to stay in our lane of, if it doesn't, and again, it's that mantra, and I'm always spitting this out to the people who we work with. If it doesn't move you forward in your life, if it doesn't cause you to make a difference in somebody else's life, we won't put it on the show. And so we, even during the pandemic, it wasn't, here's how many people are dying. Here's how many people, here's how many hospitals are overwhelmed. There wasn't any of that information. It was all, here's how to survive, and here's how I survived a 5-year battle with cancer, and here's some tips that you can use. So, you know, I close in on 68 years old. So we've gained the authority to speak into people's lives with not only good information, but also experience, I believe.
I can tell you with the show, one of the highlights for me, John, is when you have Gib Gerard on, oh my gosh, some of the stuff. He's actually like your comedy straight man, I think. I really do. You guys make a great team.
I appreciate it. Well, first of all, I'm Gib's stepdad, so I've known Gib since he was I've been Gib's dad since he was 9.
Right.
But Gib is, he's a lot like Darth Vader, okay? So when you talk about the Force, right, and Yoda and Luke Skywalker, you know, they got the Force in them and they use it for good. But then you got Darth Vader. He's also got the Force, but he's on the dark side. So Gib's on the dark side. So
If I ever talk to Gib, I'm going to tell him you said that, okay?
He knows.
Oh, okay, knows. Good. Yes.
But Gib is the smartest person I know. He, you know, 800 on both his boards, SAT boards years ago, in quantitative analysis and mathematics. I can't even remember what the kind of mathematics was or something, quantum physics or something. Anyway, but he's also a study in like 1950s, 60s, and 70s television, you know? So you can throw, you know this, you can throw any, there's never been an edit in anything I've ever done with Gib. You just throw him stuff and he goes and he'll be able to pull something out of there. And now that he's a father of 3 kids, my grandkids under the age of 8, he's having that experience too, and it really works on the radio.
We're visiting with John Tesh. Of course, you hear him each day from 2 till 7 here at 101.9 The Wave with Intelligence for Your Life. He's also the author of Relentless, Unleashing a Life of Purpose, Grit, and Faith. It's a great read. I highly recommend it. It's amazingly encouraging. If you need some positivity in your life, pick up Relentless. John, you've been really open about your faith in Christ, especially as it relates to your being healed from cancer. And I've seen you all over the place on TV. You were on with Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. Is it hard to profess yourself to be a Jesus follower in a place like, say, Hollywood or the entertainment world, as opposed to, you know, maybe someone here in Missouri?
Yes. In fact, you know, both my kids went to Kanakuk camp with Joe White, and so they, you know, they lived in the, they were Christian leaders, you know, mm-hmm. both of them at that camp. But you know, I'm from Long Island, but we live in Los Angeles, and I do my best, but it's become much more effective now, because if I were to stand on stage 15 years ago, and I used to try this, right? Mm-hmm. And just like in the middle of the show, in the middle of a secular show at a performing arts center, start talking about Christ, you know, we actually had some people get up and leave, you know, or they'd say, yeah. Hey, I didn't pay to come in to see this. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it, but it was really hard to be honest about my faith. And so I sort of walked that line. The moment I was healed with divine healing of a terminal cancer diagnosis, it all changed, where all of a sudden, you know, this guy that people had watched on Entertainment Tonight or on the Olympics or whatever was given this deadly diagnosis in this week, about 5 years ago in May.
Wow.
Well, actually, it was last week.
Wow.
Then all of a sudden I had a testimony. You know what I mean? And what people should be encouraged by is that we all have testimony. Maybe you beat alcohol and drug addiction. Maybe you healed your marriage. You know, maybe it's all, if you leave with your testimony, then people all of a sudden, then their radar is up and their ears are up. And I had to learn that the hard way, but it's not hard now. You know, I mean, you see me on Facebook. It's like, here we go. We're going to Mark 11:23,
sure.
Speak to your mountain, you know, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. By his stripes, you are healed. You know, 1 Peter 2:24, you know, all that. My point is, okay, you don't want to try this. If you don't try it, there's no chance it's going to work for you. You know, and so it's a whole different conversation. It's a good question, but I know God didn't put sickness on me, but I'm not pretending it didn't happen.
Well, you know, and again, I've heard other people say, and I agree with this, you know, sickness and pain and everything is a part of this, honestly, sin-cursed world. But there is a solution to it, too. And God provided us the cure in Jesus.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
And in your book, you talk about, John, how your view of God and his hand in healing and miracles and everything was very different for you growing up. How has it changed now?
Somewhere in the Bible, I don't have the scripture in front of me. It says, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I think that's where I was. I was a creaster, as my friend Jack Hibbs calls it, you know, Christmas and Easter, you know. you can use that if you want.
Creaster. Yeah.
I was part of the nod to God crowd, as my friend Andrew Womack puts it. And by the way, he's a great preacher. But yeah, I didn't really understand anything other than the Lord's Prayer, and I barely understood that.
Right.
And so when my wife and I met 29 years ago, she was attending a Messianic congregation, which were, you know, Jews and,
sure.
and Christians together worshiping. And that's when I became part of their worship team and understood the Word of God more as a Bible study. The thing that the real impact for me is, and anybody who's listening to this should know this, is that once I understood what the Holy Spirit was, and once I received power out of the book of Acts, you know, Acts 1, once I received that power, I understood what the gospel was all about, mm-hmm. you know, and this is the time right now where we're literally burned to the ground, to the surface of the earth. Where you need to understand that the only way out of any of this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's the other thing that my friend Dr. David Katz taught me. He's one of the, not a Christian guy, but he works at the Yale Prevention Medical Center. And his whole thing is, listen, you need to look away every now and then. You know, we're killing ourselves by looking at everything that's on the news all the time.
It's true.
And you're talking to a guy who was in the news all the time. So that's why I love radio, because the job that you're doing, the job that I'm doing, we're out here encouraging people.
Yeah, I'm doing what we were born to do. That's what I've always said. But John, let's visit your TV career for a second. Entertainment Tonight. Have you stayed in touch with Mary Hart and the gang from there?
I have. In fact, Mary, when the book came out, did a long interview with me on ET. We actually took over ET.
Oh, cool!
for a show, you can find it online. But she was amazing, you know. And she's always been a sister to me. And there's a great chapter in the book about how I wasn't a great co-host for a while, and Paramount got that message from viewers, and they sent me to body language school so I could be a better host. And I was able to tell Mary about that when we reunited a couple of months ago. She didn't even know the story. I was almost fired because I was just sort of a jerk. I mean, I'm a pretty headstrong guy.
Right.
So you don't come off that way. You don't come off that way. It's so very easygoing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do like to, I like to come across as easygoing, but I am a lot like the book. I mean, I have very, very average talent, and I haven't been blessed with the kind of talent that most musicians and performers have. But I will kill you with grit and persistence. That's, you know, my kids are the same way. But anyway, yeah, we got back together, and it was really awesome. I stay in touch with the two previous hosts too, with Rob Weller and Bob Gohan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Entertainment Tonight had to be, I mean, if not the first show that dealt exclusively with Hollywood and celebs and everything, certainly one of the first, right?
Yeah, it was, and it was one of those things where when it was first launched, I didn't even know it. I was working in Europe at CBS Sports, and it was sort of struggling for, you know, a year or 2 years because nobody wanted to admit that they were watching a show that was a half hour of. I mean, syndication wasn't really being done in earnest, and it was a day and date show. So, you know, Phil Donahue and shows like that,
right.
would tape a bunch of them at once. And then they'd send them out to station, send the tape out. But E.T. was going to be day and date. So what the show was recording, you know, at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning was what you were going to see at home at 6:37, 7:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually had to, Paramount Television, who produced the show, they went, in order to get stations to sign up for it, they actually went to stations and bought them satellite reception dish.
Wow.
You can have this dish for free. Now, you're talking about, I think it's the size of two pickup trucks together.
Right.
And they say, you can have this if you sign up the show for 2 years. So people are like, yeah, what the heck? Because we can use
Absolutely.
That to receive other stuff.
Yeah. Well, you honestly, John, you've done it all. You think about it, TV, radio, music. You've had a hand in almost every entertainment field I can think of. Have you ever been in the movies, by the way, even as a cameo?
Yes.
What have you been in?
Quite a few, actually. I was in I was in Wes Craven's Shocker. I played it. It's usually a TV reporter.
Right.
I was in Soap Dish and a bunch of other things, Star Trek.
Were you in Trek?
What happened?
Yes. That's right. You were a Klingon.
Yes, I was a Klingon. I was.
I remember that. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm a Trekker. Can you tell?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and you said it right. The people who say Trekkie, you're like, no, sorry, we don't refer to ourselves.
Absolutely.
As anything but Trekkers.
Yeah.
Paramount produced Next Generation, and actually, one of our neighbors was Jonathan Frakes, who played
number one,
Captain Picard.
Yeah,
and so I had said, you know, we were at like a cocktail party or something, and I said to Jonathan, I said, "Wow, I'd love to be like, you know, maybe your third in command or something like that. If you ever need anybody, like for a cameo." And so nothing happened, and about 2 months later, they called me up and said, "Hey, come on in. Do you like to be on the show?" Or like, yeah, on Star Trek Next Generation. I had interviewed Bill Shatner a couple of times for E.T. So I was huge. I love it. I still love Star Trek. And so I show up for makeup at 2 o'clock in the morning and realizing very quickly when they're putting a horseshoe crab on my forehead that I was going to be a Klingon. For Worf's ascension through puberty. I stuck him with a pain stick and went, "Hakeith Laktakula!"
I was going to say, can you speak any Klingon, John?
That was it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've actually done TV, radio, music, and film. So we kind of need like an equivalent of an EGOT for people who have done all four. You know, come up with that.
That's really nice of you. My manager says, "Well, Tesh, you got 6 Emmys. They should just give you a Grammy for free." And I said, "Yeah, thank you very much."
Tell me about Live at Red Rocks, how that came about. And you mortgaged your house to finance that?
Yeah, I mean, it was the equivalent of that for sure. We just took every bit of television money, Connie and I, that we had, and we poured it into this thing because I couldn't get signed by a record company. This was 1993.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Entertainment Tonight. I've been there for, you know, since 86. And I just figured, hey, 23 million people a night see me on Entertainment Tonight. I shouldn't be a problem. I'm a musician. and I'd grown up is that it shouldn't be a problem with me getting, you know, a record deal. And but you know, they just now it's a little easier for a television personality to get a record deal. But back then, you stayed in your lane, right?
Sure.
You're
TV,
yeah. While you're a film. Film doesn't do TV, and now you got all the film actors doing, you know, Netflix. So but it wasn't like that back then. And so I saw Yanni, and also who ended up becoming a friend, and also Moody Blues and U2. I saw them all at this place called Red Rocks. And I went to Connie and I said, this is what I have to do. I have to do one of these big PBS events. Otherwise, no one's ever going to take me seriously. So we went to PBS. And this is all in the book. Went to PBS and they said, well, you don't have a track. They said, what everybody said, you don't have a track record as a musician. But if you make this special, we'll take a look at it. And so when we were done with the 80-piece orchestra and renting out the venue for 2 weeks to prepare for this thing, it was a lot of money, and it was really all the TV money that I had saved and made over the years.
Wow!
And it rained in the middle of it; it almost washed us out. The orchestra left and everything. And when it finally got to a smaller station in Virginia, in Maryland rather, they tested it at midnight. And sort of the inside story and the drama of this is all in that chapter on Red Rocks. It blew up. I mean, it became one of their biggest pledging specials and raising almost $10 million for PBS. And we went from selling 50 records a month to 50,000. And I was selling, I had been selling records out of my garage.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, and then I tried to leave Entertainment Tonight, and then they sued me and tried. I mean, it was madness. But it was a real cornerstone event. I mean, you brought it up, and it's a real cornerstone event for everything that happened in my life after that.
How about that? Hey, the book is Relentless, Unleashing a Life of Purpose, Grit, and Faith by John Tesh. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Of course, you can also find it on his website, which is a great website, by the way. I recommend you check that out, johntesh.com. There are links there to, Intelligence for Your Life and the Facebook and John is all over the place, and he is a wealth of information. And John Tesh, I can't thank you enough for being here. You'll be on a little later on today, starting at 2 o'clock with Intelligence for Your Life, as you are each day. So
it was great talking to you. You asked great questions, and you've done your research, and you know how I feel about research. But the funny thing is, when you say, John, you're all over the place, that's what my wife says to me, and she doesn't mean it as a compliment.
Well, you know, listen, we all have our relationships with our wives, and we do our best. You know, I'm sure people say to her the same thing. Oh, it must be so great to be with John. He must be so talkative and informative. Man. And my wife is like, he spends it all on the show. You don't understand, you know?
Yeah. And my wife actually has, because I can be long-winded telling stories on stage, and she has a little 5x7 card that says, wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Hold that up every now and then. Or she's become a little hipper now. She'll hold up a card that says, land the plane, please.
That's great. John Tesh, thank you so much for joining us, my friend, and I wish you the very, very best, and God bless you.
My pleasure, buddy. Back at you.
Start your day with Kevin Hilly and The Wave Wake Up. Weekday mornings on 101.9 The Wave.